just right.
Do not attempt to adjust your programming.
Don't do it.
You are now listening to B-Movies and Beyond.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew, pew. Oh, man. Welcome in.
69.
It is episode 336. 336.
Are we on 336 or 335?
336. I went and checked. Actually, I got it wrong on Spotify. I just had to update the number because I put 355. Way off. Way off.
You know, that's what happens when we just have a little bit of a break time.
I know. Things happen. Things go awry. It's just, man. You get busier as you get older. You know? Well,
you're in more demand from much younger people.
You're in demand. Hot water heaters break.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was going to say yours broke too.
No.
I was like, okay. We can relate.
Yeah. I mean, it's broke before.
What'd you do?
Replaced it.
No questions asked?
Yeah. Wasn't about, well, you know, it had a leak. Mm. I was like, I'm not fixing a leak. Like in the heater, you know, in the tank. So I was like, new one, which sucks because that was actually a brand new one as well. It maybe lasted a year, if that.
Did you get a warranty?
I tend to just throw away everything. So it was just too much of a hassle. I just buy a new one.
Well, I understand that. But like if your new one that just went out within a year, that was under warranty, that would have, you could have just got a new one and not paid anything for it.
Have you ever done a warranty?
Yeah, plenty of times.
I've done a warranty on a TV once. It wasn't easy. It wasn't instant.
No? Okay. All right.
No. Are you talking about buying like the extra like insurance stuff from like Best Buy or something?
No, just like the included warranty.
Yeah.
Like water heaters have like what, a minimum of 6 years and like, I don't know, 36,000 gallons of water that should go through. I don't know that number, but like yeah, at least probably. 6 years. So within 6 years, like the manufacturer's like, oop, yep, that one's faulty. Let's get you a new one.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. Because in doing that research, I found that like you got to make the phone call, you got to get a licensed plumber to go out there, inspect it, waste some days, and then if they validate that they can fix it, they'll fix it. If they don't, then they just replace it, and then you have to end up paying for labor costs and stuff.
Yeah. So and you're out of hot water.
Long story short, if your water heater goes out, they're $500. Go replace it.
Exactly. It's not too bad. Always my main concern is always because I got gas one is that did I put the gas back on properly? And you make sure you do your bubbles. You don't want to have a gas leak.
That is that's a very important thing. See, that was what was going on with mine over here was like it was just it wasn't lighting or igniting, but there was gas going through. And at one point, the room was just filled with gas. And I was like, oh, this doesn't seem safe. I don't want to be part of this. Yeah. You know, my dad's sitting here, like, trying to ignite this, like, pilot. And then I'm smelling gas in the room. I'm like, mm-mm, mm-mm. We'll get a new one.
Nope. Okay. I'm glad you stopped it. For a second, it just sounded like you just left your dad in there to light it.
I don't know what he did when I went to work, dude. But
oh, he might still mess with it, huh?
I think he did. I think he spent the day doing it, and I was severely like concerned slash disappointed. And you are right. It is remarkably easy to just hop up to Home Depot and pick one up, put it in a truck, drive it, drag it through your house, basically hook it up, fill it up, and see if it works.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. The worst part is draining the old one. But in your case, yours was leaking, so it was doing it for you.
Yeah, right onto the floor. So big help, big help. Man, I got like a hair going up in my nose. I don't like
it. Let's talk about that. I don't even think we need a quick question. We just need life answers. Yeah. Dude, those noses in your, or those hairs like deep in your nose, do they not irritate the hell out of you?
The ones deep? No, like it's the beard hairs going up into it.
Those are bad too.
And then they get tangled up with the other nose hairs. So, occasionally the really long ones in my nose, you know, that are up top, and then they just grow super long. They're like an inch long, man.
And they're thick.
Yeah. Like those will bug me, especially if you cut it and it just starts jabbing you in the side.
And you don't cut it enough. Oh, that's the worst. It makes me want to just cut my nose off.
Well, that's when I go and take tweezers and I try to find it to pluck it. But I've been like terrified to do that because I've heard stories of like hairs going out your nose, and that also that, you know, your nose hairs is good. You know, it's like your body protecting from all this pollen shit that goes up in your nose, right? So I've always been really concerned about my nose hairs and not trying to trim them too far and or plucking too many.
I share your concerns, but I do it anyway. And life story here. I had a dude, it was like, I don't know, 20s or something. And I had a really bad nose hair right up in this area, and it curled right into itself, and it turned into a big, just like, it was like a pus filled pimple. I don't know. I thought it was a pimple, and I was trying to get it out. And one day I squeezed it, and it like shot out slime all over, and this thick hair just like poked right out this side. And I was like, wow. Bro, you were trying to make it out this way, not this way.
Yeah.
Kudos, because he did. But
it's a little plant sprouting out of your nose. It's
incredible what your body does. And you're right, dude. Like, nose hairs they're supposed to help your sinuses and stuff, but man, why is your nose so sensitive and ticklish?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Noses, jeez, noses. Can't live with them, can't live without them, right?
I need that clip again. Let's see, since we don't have a life question, let's just call it catching up.
I do have a question, though.
Oh, okay.
What? How? Why? I have so many questions!
Yeah, I've had this one actually for a while. I just didn't take the time to write it down.
You didn't ask me at Prost?
Dude, it was... Yeah. So, I mean, catching up a little bit more. Yeah, we tried out the new beer garden.
Mm-hmm.
Prost, pretty fun. Those DOS boots are pretty large.
2 liters. 2 liters of beer, Peter.
Yeah. Yep. So
that's a lot.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
My favorite thing about us at Prost was we played our favorite game, Secret Hitler.
Yeah.
At a German beer garden, and looking right across from me were two of the sweetest old German ladies, just looking straight at me and wondering what we were playing. And I was like, no, you don't want to know.
You're Hitler.
I was Hitler. Oh, you were Hitler too.
Yeah, I made it to be Hitler. And then I cost us the game because I picked the wrong person that was the ally. It was not my ally. Oh, well, things happen, you know, drinking the DOS boot. But that was a good time. And it was just too loud. That's why I didn't ask these questions. But I don't know if you've seen, there's been a lot of musicals, like new ones. Like, you know how they did like the Spider-Man. Then I just saw like they're doing a Back to the Future musical. Have you heard about this?
Kinda. I've heard about the Empire Strikes Back burlesque show.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. There's that one too. And then oh man, I'm trying to remember. There's like I think a horror theme musical that's coming out too. That's something that we really enjoy because like there's the Evil Dead musical, and it just got
that was great.
Yeah, it got me to thinking like what movie or even TV or hell even any type of pop media like do you want to see made into a musical?
Ooh.
Like wrestling, Broadway
musical.
Oh, okay.
Pro wrestling the musical. No,
that would be fun. I'm on there.
Okay, maybe I just spitballed that one, but that might actually be the answer. Could you imagine having theatrical thespians playing Stone Cold Steve Austin and Dwayne the Rock Johnson, pretending to beat each other's up, like, and doing one of the storylines
and singing, yeah,
and singing awesome.
And dancing, singing and dancing, they're dance fighting. Oh man,
yeah, that's my choice. Sorry. That like just became it instantly.
I like it. Dang it. Sorry, I'm trying to find out. Like, I can't remember. Oh, I know what it is. They're doing a Lost Boys musical.
With the vampires with Corey Feldman?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's what I thought, man. I was like, oh, I think that could be a good musical. Like,
dude, anything vampire, I've learned, can be turned into a musical, no problem.
Yeah, true. It's very true.
Vampires are very feminine slash whimsical. No, they just fit the bill for being a good musical.
Yeah, I hear you. Like Dracula. Yeah, yeah. But I like wrestling. The Back to the Future one, I thought that was kind of odd, but you know, I'd watch that. I'm really sad that I never got to see Spider-Man in action, even though, like, you know, I hear it's terrible. But, dude, seeing some guy fly around the opera house with theater would be awesome.
You know, if that was a big selling point of it, because you're right, it was terrible and it got terrible reviews. But you're right, it would be kind of cool to see, kind of see someone just flying around the opera house singing their hearts out.
Yeah.
Being Spider-Man in a cheesy costume that like 10 times cosplayers can make 10 times even better. But that's the thing. Like they don't make really good costumes for them either.
If it gets on the Broadway, I think they do. But
well, Toxic Avenger had good costumes.
Yeah, that was good.
That was a good ass musical. That was the day I adopted Churro.
Oh, yeah. That was a good day.
Churro's Instagram famous, dude. Did you know that?
I follow him.
He's killing it.
Yeah, he's still good.
I think he has more followers than us. And like,
yeah, he could teach us a thing or two. all right, my pick. I think I'm going to stick. Like, I like the horror aspect of it, but I think... No. Damn. Okay. You could just do so many musicals. I feel like this is they need to keep these coming. But I was thinking The Thing jumped out at me. But then I was also thinking like a murder mystery as well would be really fun. Like, you know, like what's that one? Knives Out. Make that in a musical.
The werewolf one.
Oh, Werewolves Within. That'd be a lot of fun. Yeah. Fun. See, like that kind of stuff. Like, I mean, basically, if you just come up with, you get some good catchy music, man, I think you can pretty much make anything a hit.
Dude, reality TV would be fun. Survivor, the musical.
it's not reality TV anymore, is it? Hey, learn this music.
Super Bowl 50 would be a fun musical.
Yeah, well, scripted.
Broncos versus Panthers, you know, Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I want a Broncos musical.
Oh, that'd be great.
NFL, the musical.
Just doing like some pirouettes and like spinning around and then chucking the ball.
And then just random shots of Taylor Swift and then random yeah. shots of Travis Kelce. And then they would change sets and you'd see commercials. Yeah. Sports betting would be in there.
I guess there's going to be a lot more musicals now. There's a wide open. There's so many different things they can pull from and write songs for. So Draft Day, the musical.
Draft Day, the musical. I love that. Has there ever been a Ghostbusters musical?
No, that popped in my head too. And I would love to see that.
Speaking of Ghostbusters, I want to talk about this later on. That video game that came out, what? Forever ago? 2010, wow. maybe?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, right around there.
Yeah. That needs to be remade for upgraded consoles. Because that was a PS3 and Xbox 360 game. And I feel that with today's graphics and today's technology, that game would be so awesome.
I have it for the Switch. It's still
awesome. It's on the Switch.
Yeah, you can buy it. You can download it. You probably get it on PlayStation too.
The Ghostbusters game, really?
Yeah, you just download it.
Huh.
It's awesome. But it is a remastered version. Yeah, and did they just do a new one?
I don't think so.
Yeah, like Spirits Unleashed.
Really?
Dude,
man,
get with the times, man.
Oh, yeah, that, you are right.
Yeah, this is more like an online game, though, right? I believe.
See, okay, that's my problem with Ghostbusters. They'll release some sort of media that's super badass, and I won't hear about it.
Well, dude, you gotta get with the right people. There's like a whole website that's just dedicated to nothing but Ghostbusters news.
Mm.
I'm on that website quite a bit. Well, actually, my Google news stuff comes up with it all the time.
Well, Peter, I will tell you, before the new movie comes out, Brittany and I have made it a priority to watch Ghostbusters. One, two, the female one, and then the last new one.
So all of them.
Yeah, she's like, I've never seen Ghostbusters. And I said, that's fine. I will watch that with you because it's been a moment since I've seen Ghostbusters and I need a recap. So I'm excited for that.
Well, I don't need a recap, but I should rewatch all of them just because I like to. Man, I try to put on just something besides Moana because that's all she watches now. And I tried How to Train Your Dragon. Nope. She like just refuses to watch anything but Moana. So doubt she's gonna watch Ghostbusters with me. I think she needs to get a little bit older. But you know, March 22nd, man, that's when the Frozen Empire comes out, so you got some time. You want to hear some news? You know, Nikki's husband Nate, you know him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met him at Brost.
Oh, yeah, he was there. Yeah. Actually, that night, you know what he told me?
Breaking news,
he's never seen Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh, I do vaguely remember us getting very upset at that.
Yeah, I cannot believe it. He's like, is it really good? I was like, dude, it's going to make you cry. Oh, and we're going to have a mandate, right? I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That. Okay. Now it's coming back. Audience, our pro visit left in a very blank state afterwards.
We just came full circle. Then we brought back to the what's been going on.
Yeah. Yes. I remember the Ghostbusters talk and it was basically, well, Peter has to go to the movies, so you guys got to watch all the Ghostbusters so you can watch the new one in theaters.
Yeah. And what did we just do? We just did a segue into the next thing.
Oh my gosh. Oop. No,
hit it all.
Here are some exciting coming attractions from Movies and Beyond.
Just so you know, Churro is catching up to us in our followers.
It's so funny. So where did you make that? Because I found it on Instagram, and I looked. And I was like, man, these pictures are old. And so it's like, oh well, I'll click the follow. And then all of a sudden, like after that, all kinds of posts of Churro.
Well, the backstory behind that is I was grouping all his photos so I could be like, here's an album of Churro, and I'm just going to post a photo of him every single day. And I was like, I don't care if it's an old one, new one, whatever, just whatever happens. Okay. And I like duplicated a photo set of 200 something photos of Churro like 4 times. I was like, whoops.
Oh, well.
But
Churro's adorable.
Yeah, he is adorable. Sorry, Churro wasn't the segue. It was Ghostbusters. Do you want to just start off with Ghostbusters?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they got trailer 2? Or is this... The first one was a teaser, and this is the full trailer.
This one's the official trailer.
Okay, so the other one was just like a teaser then.
It was a long teaser.
I know. It's dumb. Just call it a trailer. And this is trailer 2.
Yeah.
But
then we have to have the TV trailer, and then we have to have the... Monday Night Football trailer. Oh, we're probably getting a Super Bowl trailer.
Probably. I don't. Yeah. I think besides we're gonna have a lot to talk about. Maybe next time is potential Deadpool 3 trailer.
Oh shit! That's right. I was just wondering when that's coming out because there was a super cool logo of Deadpool, half Wolverine,
on Kevin Feige's head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. But okay. We're distracted again.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, I've already watched that trailer like 10 times at least. Like, it makes me so happy. The teaser, I was already stoked. And now just being able to see like more of Paul Rudd and like I think it's okay to say he's just adorable.
This was the trailer that made you realize that?
Well, no, I just want to reiterate and confirm that he's just adorable. he's doing the song, like you know what else? Can I tell you something else? Bussin' makes me feel good. Like it's just oh man, it cracks me up. So
that's like, what I said during the movie Argyle when I saw the trailer. I was trying to remember, I cracked that joke right back at Brittany, and she was like, huh? And I was like, that makes me feel good.
Yeah. I get it. Yeah. But like just all those little things. And then also like seeing all the original cast, you know, and Bill Murray's line where like, don't look now, 12 o'clock, tall, dark, and horny. Like, and then there's a horny looking ghost guy. Like it's those things, man. Like those little quips are that's thrown in all throughout the Ghostbusters franchise. And like, they're nailing the tone of it. And I have not seen anything from these trailers that has proved otherwise. And so I'm so ready for March 22nd.
Sorry, I just had to get that in writing because I don't want to forget that line again. and yeah, I did. Look right here. See, in a little gift. Nice. That's nice. So good. And the response was no comprende. the tone. Okay. I like that. We weren't waiting for it. It's here that we get to experience this comedic tone of Ghostbusters. Afterlife had its purpose for not being very comedic.
I thought it was so funny.
It was still funny, but it wasn't like what the level of this one can be. I feel and I believe. So I agree with you. I'm happy that they are cracking these jokes and you're getting the team together. And instead of like this new team learning about the old team and learning what ghosts are, they're in a ghost busting and they're ready to get to bust.
Oh yeah.
So I'm excited for Ghostbusters. So good. I'm excited to see the movie with you. That's just, I know it's going to happen. Just not at the orchard and at the right time. girls for being in our seats.
Yeah. No, you guys are in the wrong seats. You're not going to stop me from seeing Ghostbusters.
Brother, and you were stern about it, and they were like, okay.
Yep, they left.
Okay. I was looking at my ticket. I was like, dude, we're in the wrong movie theater. Whoops.
Well, we were in the right one. It was just the wrong day.
It was everything the wrong else, day. That's
everything, right. Yes, everything else was correct. But they let us in. Like, I can only blame the theater. Like, I had the wrong tickets for the wrong day, and yet they still let us in.
And so, they let me in without a ticket. Because I was before you, and I was like, they're right behind me. And he's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah.
See, this is why I like AMC Orchard. They don't give a fuck. So, all right. That's Ghostbusters. Can't wait. There's a whole, dude. Oh, there's so many. I don't,
standout ones?
Yeah. Where do you, some of these I didn't actually,
So here, I'll just do a little rundown, and if anything jogs your memory, just speak up. So Lisa Frankenstein is supposed to be the horror comedy Valentine's movie of February, and it's supposed to save the movies this year already. Good luck. It looks good.
Yeah, like, I thought it looked good, but it reminds me of the whole like warm bodies situation.
Yes, right? Yes, exactly.
So,
so it's a trap, but
yeah.
You know, if you got a girlfriend and it's February, and let's look at the list of movies for February. We got Dune, Lisa Frankenstein, Argyle, Bob Marley, How to Have Sex. Okay. Madame Web, Out of the Darkness, Poor Things, Zone of Interest, American Fiction, Wonka. So really, there's not a lot of movies coming out this month. So this one just looks fun.
Yeah, if I had to pick, I would. Like, if, you know, me and the missus are trying to go, like, I'd watch this. I don't know if she would be into it, but, you know.
Diablo Cody. Juno and Jennifer's Body.
Yeah.
Oh. Directing debut of Zelda Williams.
Oh, that was the thing that stood out to me. It was Robin Williams' daughter.
This is Robin Williams' daughter's first movie. So, hey, I eat the words that it's just like, meh, go see it because there's nothing else. Go see this because I want to see what Zelda Williams does as a director.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Like, I had no idea, so that's cool.
Crazy House. Okay, dude, this one. Nick Frost, sitcom, turn horror comedy?
It's a brief teaser. Basically, I think Nick Frost, his character's kind of going insane, and like the sitcom thing's all in his head. That's what I got from this. Because you start off that way, but then you saw these flashes of where, like, it was, you know, like the coloring was all different and more realistic, and he's like killing everyone. So I think he's on like a mental breakdown, and you know, Crazy House is in the title, right?
Well, it reminds me of Too Many Cooks. Remember that little short on Adult Swim, and it was like that, like cycling of that sitcom, and it kept on getting worse and worse and worse.
Oh, and, yeah.
Background.
Yeah.
If we get a remote live action version of that, I think that should be fun to watch. I haven't seen anything for it coming to the theaters, but I feel like that's a streaming release.
I thought actually that was more like it's going to be a
Sundance. It was a Sundance one.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
next up, you got Roadhouse. Roadhouse. Remember old Roadhouse?
The movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Here's the thing. At first, I was like, this one kind of took me off guard, and I was a little bit confused, even though I saw those pictures of, like, Jake Gyllenhaal being at UFC, right, for, like, filming something. I don't think I must have always glossed over that this is for a remake of Roadhouse. So when this trailer came out, I saw him and like the whole UFC thing. I'm like, oh, it finally came together. And like, holy shit, Amazon actually made a remake of Roadhouse. You know what? At first I thought, oh, we don't need a remake of this. But then I was like, eh. Why not? I think the more the merrier on this one. Like, who doesn't want to just see some guy that's just going to be a bouncer and just kick a lot of ass? Like, that's a pretty easy, you know, story and pretty generic that you could do sequel after sequel after sequel. So I'm just going to say this is a sequel. It really should be Roadhouse 2 or Roadhousen.
Or Roadhousier.
Yeah, Roadhousier.
I like Roadhousen.
Keep on housing. But I mean, dude, he looks like a badass. You got Conor McGregor in there. I think that's kind of fun, and then it looks cool. I'm excited for it.
I'm up for it too. I agree. It looks fun. It looks cool. A lot of violence. A lot of I'm only here because I kicked his ass or I broke his arm. Like the way he beats him up, it's very. It's not like a serious beat up. It's like, yeah, I'm a bouncer. I'm going to fuck you up. And then here comes Conor McGregor, and he just looks like any typical yacht owner's security guard is what I got from it. But I also don't know that world, so I'm curious to see if that's how it's like. So
you don't know the yacht world?
Don't know the yacht world. Once we get to our billion subscribers in the universe, then we'll be in the yacht world.
Okay, then we'll have Conor McGregor be our bodyguards or bodyguard.
I would. If I had that money, I'd be like, Conor, when we're on the yacht, you are the guard, bodyguard. No drinks.
Absolutely.
You can't have any drinks while we podcast.
And then we'll remake Bodyguard. You know, I've never seen that movie, but okay.
Bodyguard?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
You know what? I was like 2 days old when I saw it. It was like on TV. It was on in the background. I was like, I've never actually seen this movie. And sure enough, I was watching it. I was like, oh, I get it. He falls in love, or she falls in love with him. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, we should do a review of The Bodyguard. We should do it with our significant others.
There you go.
Yeah. Quiet Place.
Day one.
If you want to learn how and why, then watch this movie.
I like it, man. Like, you know, I'll be honest, I still haven't seen the second A Quiet Place.
Is that the one with Sandra Bullock? No, that's Bird Box.
Yeah.
Quiet Place 2 is the one with a baby, right?
Well, the first one had the baby, but the second one is the continuation of that story and the baby. So, yeah. I guess there's a baby. It came out like, oh man, I think that one kind of got jacked up because of COVID. So I think it came out like in 21 and probably, yeah. I don't know. I like the universe. And now this is like, we're getting the madness of when it all breaks out. And that looks really cool. Like, I mean, what you saw in there, it was just complete chaos in this trailer, which I can only assume like that's going to be even more as people slowly start learning, oh, you got to be quiet. And then, I like it where it's going to be interesting. I guess kind of where they stop the story is, you know, are we going to get to a point where basically, you know, small groups are surviving, you know, in certain places? But and also they're changing it to that it's in a city. That's the other part. We haven't had that yet either. So I like this change up in the dynamic of this universe. So looks cool.
Yeah, I was just looking up A Quiet Place too, and that's one. It's like a year later with Cillian Murphy, and like one of the kids has like a hearing implant, and they figure out some sort of solution.
I still think you're mixing up stuff, but I don't know. I haven't watched the second one.
No, the second one, like there's a girl with the hearing aids, and like they find a way to broadcast it across a radio signal, and like it fucks up the creatures.
Oh, so they just use that even more? Because didn't they do that in the first one too?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I don't know. There's a bunker. I just read the synopsis and I was like, yeah, I remember that.
I mean, that's what happened in the first one. So I guess I kind of already seen it.
Yeah, I guess you have.
Yeah. New John Wick.
Huh?
Monkey Man is the new John Wick.
Oh, I was like, what? Did you watch this trailer?
Yeah,
I did. Okay, so I watched this before Argyle, and I was like, I would actually watch that movie in theaters. It's a Jordan Peele produced movie. This is Dev Patel's directorial debut.
I think, and writing, dude. I think he's doing everything for this, and it looks... I mean, dude, I mean, it's the India John Wick. Like, that's what this is. And
I like it.
Yeah. And at first, when I just heard the title Monkey Man, I was like, what is this? And
the monkey mask looks cool.
Yeah. And then as you start watching, you're like, oh, holy shit. Like, it looks pretty impressive. And then when I saw, like, it was all him, like, for everything, I was just, like, even more blown away, which now this is another guy. We're like, all right, he's directing now. Like, I want to see what he can do. And the fact that he's directing action, that's not an easy thing.
No, this dude was from Slumdog Millionaire. He looks like a lion.
Yeah. I also that they're getting into like India stuff. Like, I think that will be interesting.
Indian culture without being Bollywood.
I agree. Exactly. Yeah.
Like, Bollywood is just so, like, you want to talk about musicals and dance. Like, they got everything covered and they have the worst action in movies. Like, dude, if you ride a horse like a motorcycle and slide it underneath a trailer while you're shooting other policemen, just because you filmed it doesn't mean it's good action.
Yeah.
And your horse looks fake. I do like that it's Dev Patel, and I like Charlito Copley, the dude from Hardcore Henry, Chappie, District 9, Elysium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a South African dude. He's pretty good in this. So,
yeah, nice.
He's a director, right? He's usually a director of all those films. Is he not?
No, he's
no. That's Neil Blomkamp.
He's just in his movies all the time, and then occasionally he goes and steps away and does the A-Team. For some reason, I've been wanting to watch that one recently. I don't know why. It was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, A-Team? Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Talk about like that was one where like I hope it gets a sequel, and it never did. I thought it deserved one.
That'd be the B team.
Oh, that's us.
Oh yeah. Where's our movie? Where's our movie?
We're working on it. I didn't watch this one. Tarot card.
It reminded me of the one with the hand.
Oh, I did watch this, and Talk to Me. It did look exactly like Talk to Me.
Yeah. So,
whatever, a knockoff. I don't know. I like these horror movies, but they're starting to like step onto one another. Now, this next one, though, Lovely Dark and Deep. Now, this one has got me pretty excited. I like the whole, you know, horror aspect in the woods. I don't feel like, you know, like there was that time where like they were doing all that suicide, like forest, you know, like that was like the big thing. They had a few movies based off of that. Right.
Oh yeah.
But they haven't, you know, I just feel like there's not too many of them in my opinion, like straight up like ghost stories. Like this is a ghost story, which that's fair the enough. Part that I'm excited about is that aspect of it. Like, I think we've seen stuff that's set in, you know, the forest, and it's been more like slashers and people attacking one another, stuff like that. Not so much like a supernatural aspect of it. So, yeah, that trailer, I was
I was getting a little bit creeped out just by watching that trailer, to be honest.
It is a very creepy trailer, especially the thumbnail on YouTube. You're like, what is going on with that dude's face?
Oh, yeah. And then you kind of get to see it. There's one more trailer that I forgot, but it's also kind of a letdown. I think I mentioned how, like, right, Nicolas Cage. I feel like since this episode is supposed to come out in January, we still got to continue with Nicolas Cage information. Done.
Yeah.
We
don't stop.
I know. That's true. We don't. Like, I need a reason to talk about Nicolas Cage. But I talked about he's going to be like a serial killer, right? In this movie called Long Legs. So they released a trailer for Long Legs, but... I mean, talk about a teaser trailer, dude. That was straight up just a tease. Like, you don't
barely any Nick Cage in it.
Exactly. Even though he's all over the thumbnails, but most of it, he's like covered up his face, and you just kind of get to see his face a little bit, and it cuts through him so fast, and you kind of get to hear like his breathing and doing weird shit. But like, you know, hey, that was enough because I'm like the fact that. He's in it, and that trailer, that teaser looked very odd, where I'm like, how is this? The movie looks out there. Let's just put it that way. Like, I don't like there's a supernatural aspect of it. And there's also just a straight up serial killer. So how they're going to like merge that together. I hope they can do that. I hope they can marry it nicely. And it's not like too weird, right? Like I thought like Black Phone did that really well. Hopefully Long Legs can do it because it does look creepy as hell. So
have we seen Nick Cage as a serial killer in previous roles?
I don't think so. Not like a straight up like lunatic, like and
8mm, he was like the one investigating a serial killer, right?
Yeah, and he's done like some other movies like The Frozen Ground where he's the investigator as well. I feel like this is the first time where he's going to be the
killer.
Yeah.
What I'm loving is this, the stage of Nick Cage life is he's doing roles we haven't seen him do. Next up, he needs to be a Power Ranger, go to space. Has he fought a dinosaur?
I don't think so. But I would argue Jurassic Park. The whole Power Ranger thing, though. Like, I mean, if you saw Jiu-Jitsu, like, to me, that seems pretty close because he was, he was like the Zordon in Jiu-Jitsu. But he actually fought, So, hey, we got to get into news, man.
I'm trying to transition. News. So, Godzilla news or Jurassic Park news?
That's like a let's do Jurassic Park first.
Or what was your news?
That they're making another Evil Dead movie.
Oh, well, hell yeah!
I know.
The last one was really good.
Yeah, and like I like another spinoff movie. Like they know what they're doing now. Like I think, hey, use some of our ideas, but have fun with it, right? Like Sam Raimi has like this whole thing, like basically, hey, you gotta have these deadites and I forgot his rules, but basically like, they have no like emotion, or I shouldn't say emotion, like empathy for anyone. So like they had like interesting like things on that. Like if you're gonna use these people, you gotta use them correctly, right? His deadites, like his little creations. So they got Sebastian Vinick. I don't know. But he did a movie called Infested last year, and I think pretty good. It premiered in the Venice Film Festival.
Fantastic Fest in North America, earned nominations for Best Motion Picture and Special Jury Prize at the Steig Film Festival. So like he did some good work. And so like now that, you know, now he gets to toy around with the Evil Dead franchise, like that's cool. And the fact that it's just continuing on is awesome. So how to get that out there?
Where'd you find this info?
You know, the internet. iHorror. I go to iHorror a lot, that website, which maybe that's where I found the Godzilla thing. What's your news?
My news is, Fear Street movie, Jurassic World 4 is coming out. The big one was The Mandalorian and Grogu. Grogu will land in 2026. They are making a movie of The Mandalorian and Grogu. And I thought about the title. I laughed because it's like, well, how do we get people to see this movie? Well, it's a Mandalorian. Yeah, but how do we find a way to put Baby Yoda in it? We'll just put his name in it. And then promote the shit out of it. But coming with this article was it's going to be directed by Jon Favreau. And okay. This is, okay, the earnings call meeting. Peter, that's what it is.
Yes.
Bob Iger. Yes, he confirmed that we are going to, it's going to kick off the next generation of Star Wars movies.
So what? Now we're just going to have the Mandalorian as everything, or?
I think they're going to make this a movie and have another season as well.
I mean, I thought that season 3, I mean, it was so epic. I thought that, like, it was a movie in my opinion. So, if they can keep up, man, and do stuff like that, I'm excited for it. I personally just think it's doing so well as like the series, just continue that, like, and just, you know, maybe branch out and like they can just join every once in a while. You know, I don't know if they need a full feature length movie. But
we're at that point in our viewing of content now, aren't we? Where a series can stay a series and we'll love it. And a movie can be a movie and we're fine with it. But when you start cross-pollinating them, it gets a little too much. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Like we didn't need the Marvels. We literally could have just had Ms. Marvel season 2 and it would have been a better product.
Probably, or that's how they should have been season 1, maybe.
You know? Right? Well, we got some movies to talk about, Peter, right?
We do.
Unless there's more news.
We got Oscar more episodes for that. Yeah, Oscar nominations came out, and I don't know. I've seen only one movie on there, so who cares?
Happens with me every year.
Yep. So let's get in our feature presentation.
Just yell it.
Oppenheimer. I didn't see it.
No?
Not yet. What to? Oh, I watched your movie, Ryan.
You can review that one if you want, because I got another one.
Oh, you know what? That was my recommendation, actually.
Take it.
My movie that I watched, and again, this is for Nicolas Cage month. But, Ryan, he let me down. He let me down.
How?
He did this movie called The Retirement Plan.
Oh, no. You were talking. Don't want to spoil the review.
Just came out last year. Nicolas Cage is the retired ex, like, government assassin guy, right? And government said, you know, you got to retire. And so he's off in the Bahamas. He's some tropical paradise, right? And just getting drunk all the time and enjoying life. But his daughter, gets into some trouble because her, I don't know, boyfriend or husband steals something from the wrong people, right?
Mm-hmm.
This hard drive, you know, a thumb drive that they put, and the whole plan was like, all right, we need to get out of this, you know, country. We need to go. Your dad is over here in the Bahamas. Let's just call it the Bahamas. Take our daughter and go there, and so that these bad guys can't get us. That's the whole idea. Obviously, they capture the boyfriend, the husband. You know, did they kill him? Ah, they might have killed him. It was just really bad. The acting is terrible. And it was so upsetting because Nicolas Cage is not a bad actor. And he even had Ron Perlman in this movie too. Actually, he probably is the one that stood out the most to me. A lot of unsatisfying moments for it. This was also built up to be a comedy. It's the Cayman Islands. All right. So bad guys find out, hey, they're in the Cayman Islands. They go out. They're trying to find the daughter, get the hard drive back. They run into Nicolas Cage, right? Ex-assassin. He starts killing everyone. And then so they just keep on seeing more and more bad guys and doing stuff like that. And again, oh man, the comedy doesn't hit. Like, you can see what they're going for. It just wasn't put together properly. Like it was just kind of awkward, but like you saw, like, all right, they have a slight idea of what's funny. It's just poorly executed. Also, just Nicolas Cage's action, again, poorly executed, not very good. I mean, all that, the action, I should just say poorly executed. And then it also just kind of turned into like, Ernie Hudson's in this as well. Like just all kinds of people that I was kind of shocked at about, and it just did not pay off. I was, you know, the kid wasn't very good. Maybe that was what brought it down. Just terrible script. Dialogue's not good. Action's not good. It's slow. It's kind of boring. And it's just really disappointing. Man, I was just so upset. And I got more stuck onto, like, why the fuck is this movie called The Retirement Plan? It was no one's plan to retire. He didn't want to retire. And they just go show up and he's just in retirement. Like, they should just call it Retired. I don't know. Like, the title makes no sense. And that upset me.
I'm kind of sad because, well, I am sad because this is, you know, I think this has been the most lackluster Nicolas Cage month we've ever done. And the movies that we watch were just kind of like, meh, you know? And ending the month, and well, starting February with it, with that, that's disappointing, dude. And the name, and like you said, Ron Perlman, Ernie Hudson, you know, Nick Cage on the Cayman Islands, sounds like a good movie. Sounds like something Adam Sandler could have pulled off and been awesome and comedic. But I'm disappointed, Peter.
Yeah, this Tim Brown guy, he actually, I guess, wrote it and directed it and produced it, you know. I'm, like, trying to look at some of his other stuff, and I'd never even heard of it. I mean, he has movies, well, he was a producer on that. Bark Ranger. That's the kind of stuff that he's working on. So,
oh my gosh,
I don't know. There's like, what is this, Buckley's Chance? Like, dude, like all these just look not very good. But somehow he always has like a main, like a good actor in it. And this one in particular, right? All those guys I listed, they're pretty good, but they did not do very well, which just tells me that it's Tim Brown, man.
Tim Brown seriously doesn't, he's a director and he doesn't have his own Wikipedia page.
He's on IMDb, so there's something.
I like his first video that pops up is a dog movie and this girl steps in a pile of shit.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the kind of comedic stuff that we're talking about. There, it's as if, like, just a, you know, like a, the 7-year-old wrote this, right? That's what, like, it's, that's what they find funny is that someone steps in shit, right?
Dude, seriously, these are a bunch of dog movies.
Yeah, that's what he produced. So, like, it's just, like I said,
he did not do well. The Stranger with Steve Austin as a producer.
All right. Well, was it good?
Oh, he did another one called Damage. So he's done some movies with Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's done 4 of them.
How come I'm not seeing this? I'm on his thing.
Well, I have him under producer.
So yeah, look at producer.
Yeah. 25 credits for producer.
Oh, I didn't do see all.
Yeah.
Oh, Hunt to Kill, The Stranger. Okay. But
what's funny is his movies like progressively got better, but stayed consistently right around that 5.1 star. How many stars are out of 10?
Yeah, he had a Steven Seagal vehicle driven to kill. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah, but these are producing. You know, I think it's you know, someone else is in charge. Like, you know, he's just trying. He just helps get the thing executed. So, like, I can't give him too much credit for these things. They all look not too good. And then also the stuff that he really did really does not look good. And, you know, I guess I hate to.
You want to know this stat?
Yeah. What is it?
The film made $745,000 from 1,175 theaters in its opening weekend. The worst total ever for a cage wide release movie.
Dude, I had no idea being made it into theaters. So, like, that's what we're talking about here. Like, I just, you know, and again, what I was trying to get at is, like, I feel bad for, like, criticizing this guy because, like, he's getting these movies done. So I applaud him for that. I just.
Nick Cage or Tim Brown?
Tim Brown. Nicolas Cage. I still don't fault him. I do think, like, everyone did the best they could, but it felt like. Like, everything was just, like, the first take, and, like, the way they edited it together was just poor. Like, I wish he spent more time on there. And I also, like, there's a big thing with, like, you need to get comedic people involved, like, right? Like, you need to have an actual, like, writer that's and editor that specializes in this. Like, you know, like, there is something to that. Like, I hear, like, they talk about, like, Adam Sandler stuff, you know, like, dude, like, they're constantly just talking about and, like, cutting and re-editing all the time to, like, find out what is the funniest version of this. And sometimes that means just taking off, like, a second of this frame, right? To, like, you're just a little bit faster so it hits harder, right? Like, that was the part that it's just, it was not there. Like, you could see the elements, but poorly executed. So, The Retirement Plan. Sorry, I don't recommend it. Sorry, Nicolas Cage. Please come on the show, though. Would love to talk to you about it.
Love to pick your mind why you followed through with this movie.
I guess he hasn't retired, so that's what he was trying to see. So, and also get a better title. It does not make sense to me. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe it was a plan. Sorry, maybe it was a plan to heist the files and realize he was in retirement.
You know, probably that's how they got to it, but that's dumb. Because they're not related.
Yeah, you know, my movie also featured a hard drive with certain files that two entities were fighting over. What's up with people with like hard drives, like these secret hard drives that they have to travel the world to figure out?
I don't know.
That's not interesting to me anymore, dude.
I know. That was like so, like, I feel like early 2000s, 90s, you know, where like, like you're trying to like protect secrets. Like I feel like this day and age, like you just deny. That's all you do. Your shit gets out. You deny it.
Yeah. You hear that, Vince McMahon? Just deny it still.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just think of like we had a president that literally just, you know, nope, didn't do that. No, you did. It's fact. Nah.
Nope. No, I was on Monday Night Raw that year. Nope, yes, never happened.
Exactly.
Dude, I just, speaking of that, like following the wrestling world and the media world, I'm like, how has nobody ever looked into what he did while he was in WWE? Like, he was side by side with Vince McMahon, like best friends. Like, if you really want to take this down, you're going to take down Donald Trump with him.
I mean, I don't know. They tried. I just, as long as you don't acknowledge it, it seems like it just goes away.
It's like that Simpsons episode I keep on referencing where the advertisement's the treehouse of horror.
Yeah.
And like the advertisements are killing people. And Lisa is like, oh, I guess you just don't look at them. And they came up with the jingle and it's like, just don't look. Just don't look. And they look away and all the advertisements start dying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what happens.
Uh-huh. Just don't pay attention.
That's until they show up in the middle of your football game or wrestling match. See, that's what I'm talking about. You got to get a new way so people don't look away. It's got to jump out of them, right?
Just dancing like inflatable arm men with like Mountain Dew on them, just imposed in the entrance.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Peter, I watched a movie in the movie theaters. It is a continuation of a series, and yes, I just did spoil that because I have a feeling you're not going to watch this because not a lot of people watch this, and it's Argylle.
Wait, this is a continuation of a series?
Yeah. It's tied to a series. Matthew Vaughn directed Argylle, also the director of Kingsman.
Uh-huh.
That didn't give it away? Okay.
Well, I know, but like, is this... Seriously? They're connected?
Yeah, seriously.
This... Wow. Because... my understanding, and you can say yes or no from the trailer, is this is more like a, oh man, what was like Romancing the Stone type deal. Like basically like it's like a fiction type deal where like this writer gets involved and then somehow she gets roped into like a real situation. Like, isn't that the gist of this?
How far do you want me to go?
Well, I mean, is that accurate?
That trailer was very accurate until 3/4 of the movie.
Okay. So that is the plot for 3/4 of the movie, then. Is this what you're saying?
That's what you're led to believe for 3/4 of the movie, yes.
Oh, wow. That is...
So, and I remember when we saw the trailer for this, I was like, yeah, I'd watch that. And then you're like, yeah, I don't, it looks like a Romance in the Stone kind of remake. And I already see the premise and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, I could see why you don't want to see that. And that wasn't the problem with this movie. That was done, Peter, I think that was executed very well. My problem was believing that, and this is no diss to her whatsoever, because I know she's accepted it, but a very husky Bryce Dallas Howard is capable of doing action scenes like a spy. And it was bad. It was so bad, Peter. There was a scene, literally, and dude, this is Matthew Vaughn, where I think he's just out of ideas because he's gotten worse and worse with his action scenes. But there was a scene where there was literally spilt oil all over this one room that Let me start with the, that's the worst one. The one before that is where they escape a room randomly and all they have are smoke bombs and they're colorful smoke bombs. So they're throwing all these different color smoke bombs through this hallway, just like, and they're dance shooting the enemies. They're dancing with each other. So you're getting these close-ups of their faces of them doing the whirly bird and dancing around with each other. Meanwhile, just unloading clips of fucking guns on random ass henchmen. And they have colorful smoke bombs making heart shapes and stuff. That was the second worst scene I've ever seen in a freaking movie. The first one was right after that. They're still escaping all these henchmen. I don't know why Bryan Cranston has all these henchmen. And
he's the bad guy. That's why he has henchmen.
They spill oil all over this room. So they're in a standoff, so they're like slowly inching towards each other, and they're like, don't shoot. Any shot can literally spark the room up. And then she's like, wait a minute, was I really an ice skater? And he's like, yeah, you were. That wasn't just like a part of your memory. And she just gets these freaking knives and puts them on her combat boots. And the worst CG I've ever seen in my life of a husky Bryce Dallas Howard ice skating like she's fucking Tonya Harding, slicing people up. And then randomly, mind you, the whole point of the scene was don't shoot anybody. She just unloads guns right on them while she's in the middle of this oil thing with no oil on her whatsoever. That part just took me out of this movie completely. Everything before that was so fun. It's a good spy movie. Like you said, Romancing the Stone. So you get a little bit of like this writer who's finishing the story. So her characters are asking her to finish the story and complete it. And she's in the middle of it. So she's trying to conjure up all these ideas, how to finish what's going on in the story. So you're getting this fictional world with this reality world, and you're getting a lot of remembrance. You're getting a lot of spy stuff. All that was good and fun. Twist after twist after twist after twist. But then when they start running out of twists, it just became the dumbest action movie I've ever seen. Dumbest.
Yeah. I think so. Matthew Vaughn, like I enjoy, maybe I shouldn't say that. Like I have enjoyed his films. Like
Kick-Ass, X-Men First Class, X-Men's Days of Future Past, Kingsman Secret Service. Even the Golden Circle was okay to me.
That's where I thought it started to go kind of downhill was with Golden Circle, where exactly what you just described was like, oh man, he's kind of running out of ideas, or maybe it's not as clever because the smoke bomb thing that reminded me of when all the heads are blowing up in the first Kingsman. And so,
but it was like that was a rated R thing. So the heads are blown up. That looked cool in that one. It was
off the wall. Is this PG-13?
I think so, dude.
Oh, then maybe that's the reason. I've said it before. Most probably PG-13 movies should be rated R, and they'll be better. But so like, yeah, that aspect reminded me of that whole thing and that whole visual. He does like that whole, like, you know, let's get really, what's the right word? Like
artsy.
Artsy. I was going to say it's like surreal, you know, the whole dancing and doing that stuff. Right. It's just kind of cute. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the whole oil thing, you know, I that's what I felt like Golden Circle. I was so hyped for that, and it was kind of a letdown because like nothing really topped anything from the first Kingsman, and like you could see that he was trying really, really hard. It just wasn't there,
dude.
and it sounds like that's the exact same thing with this one. And where I think what's going on is that he's done enough good stuff where studios are just like, oh man, it's Matthew Vaughn. Let him do whatever he wants.
That's so what happened exactly. Apple bought the rights to this movie and they thought it was going to be the next blend between Apple TV and theatrical releases. However, it flopped terribly. First week it was good. And then second week was like a huge drop off. So Dude, now knowing it's an Apple produced thing, I wouldn't recommend this in a movie theater whatsoever. Like, this is something that you wait for it to come on Apple. I just have my Alamo pass, and there was literally nothing else to see. I've seen Godzilla Minus One 3 times, and I'm ready.
Maybe for... You should have went the fourth time.
It was out of theaters already.
Oh, okay. So you could.
But I'm ready for the 14th so I could watch Lady Frankenstein or whatever and watch Madame Web. Like, I'm actually kind of interested in Madame Web.
Dude.
How they're going to screw it up.
Yeah, I feel like... I totally forgot that was coming out.
A lot of people did, dude.
Yeah, until just recently. And then I've been hearing stuff like, you know, they're not releasing this for review. Like, they are not, like, letting critics, like, they're holding on to this. Like, those are bad signs.
Those are very bad signs.
So, but, you know, I'm sure it's even, what's that one with, 30 Seconds to Mars?
It's Morbin Time.
Yeah, it's Morbin Time. Like, even that, like, I was like, yeah, you know, it's not like, it is bore, but it's still watchable. So I'm sure Madame Web's going to be watchable. So there you go.
I'm just curious what universe it takes place in, because, you know, Sony only has a Spider-Man IP, and they're kind of forced to make Spider-Man like movies. So they keep the IP. There's a lot of talk about when this takes place, and it's like in 2003, which is when Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was around. So
that's, I wonder if it's a
Tobey Maguire type of Spider-Man thing, or you know how they fix this entire Spider-Verse bullshit thing? They make Amazing Spider-Man 3, and it's Andrew Garfield. And they introduce Miles Morales, and then he goes into the Marvel Universe with Venom, and that's how you fix it.
Why don't you just do the Miles Morales? Like, why does he have to be introduced in Amazing Spider-Man 3?
Because it's like the handoff, you know? Like what they're doing with the video game, they're handing it off to Miles. Live-action Miles, sorry, not the cartoon one.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions on Layer Cake or Kingsman or... What's this movie? Argyle. The supposed Henry Cavill, James Bond-esque movie.
No questions. I, to be honest, like, now I'm probably more interested than before, because I want to know how this, like, I have, you know, what you've said, like those hints. I'm like, okay, I get it. But I really want to see how it ties into Kingsman. So that part has actually made me want to watch this.
Do you want me to spoil anything?
Nah.
Okay.
It's enough. It's okay. Enough. I think you did your job where, I guess here's my last thing is, you just said it was probably not, it's not worth seeing it in a movie theater, but like on a streaming service, yeah? Worth a watch? At home?
Yeah. I would. It does a very good job. It's one of those movies where, you know, there's a movie where you have to pay attention to it. And for me, it's seeing it in a movie theater to pay attention. This is one of those movies where I can have it in a streaming and I'm captivated enough where I can follow the plot, understand where they're going with it, and not be too vested in it. So, like, I could be recording a podcast and see it in the background and be like, oh, yeah, okay, now I get what's going on. But... it has a fantastic cast, by the way, dude. Henry Cavill is Agent Argyle in the fictional world. And then you see Sam Rockwell, who is a spy. And then you have Bryce Dallas Howard, who is the writer. And I'll leave it at that. Sam Jackson's in it. Bryan Cranston's in it. John Cena. He's supposed to be in it, but you don't see him anywhere. Just joking. He's in it.
Oh.
Dua Lipa, she's beautiful, just so you know. And that one girl that's always in the Kingsman that kind of looks like Dua Lipa, she's in it. And I think Kevin McAllister's mom is in it. What's her name?
Oh, man. What is her name? Catherine O'Hara?
Catherine O'Hara, yeah. Yeah. She's in this one. Pretty sure. Why can't I find it? Oh, I'm on Matthew Vaughn's page, not Argyle. Catherine O'Hara. Yep. Yep. Well,
that's cool.
Yeah, so Rob Delaney's in it for a moment. And am I missing anybody? No, nope, that's about it. There's a cat in it, and sometimes it's a fake cat. And it's a very obviously fake cat.
Interesting. I guess I think you're all thought about that Apple money, but maybe they're running out of that Apple money, huh?
You know, just watch it all the way through and you'll get the Kingsman references.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I'm intrigued now. And also that cast, like, you know, sometimes you just want to watch it just because, like, you want to see what John Cena does, you know, and Bryan Cranston. Dude, I love watching Bryan Cranston work. So, I'm in.
All right.
Now, I don't think that's what you're trying to do, but I'm in.
I sold you somehow.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Let's wrap this up.
Like a condom.
Yes! Yes! Oh! Oh, oh, God. Oh.
I'll have what she's having.
I didn't put that together in my head, but it worked out flawlessly.
It did. Good job. So I took the one that you actually had written down, but from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Destroy All Neighbors. We just watched the trailer that last time we recorded, and it's on Shudder now. And I enjoyed it. I thought it was really well made. And I mean, it looks low budget. And like, I thought it was funny. I thought the practical effects were good. I thought Jonah Ray Rodriguez, I thought he did a good job, like the main guy. And then there was also like, an Alex Winter. He's in it. And I liked how like he got to do dual characters.
Oh yeah, I like both his characters.
Yeah, and then the surprise cameo, like kind of in the middle, that was a lot of fun too. With I feel like it's fine to say it's Kumail Nanjiani. Like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Like all that, I just thought it wrapped up. And I mean, this is a straight up B movie. Like how this thing ends is just. So out there, but it just works. It was fun. So like, okay, I had no issue like watching that one, and like pretty much all the way through. Actually, I had to stop once because of the kids and everything, but then I started it in two sittings. I have not yet tried like five times to watch Aquaman the Last Kingdom or whatever, and I can't do that. So I think that's saying something.
Can I add to your recommendation?
Yeah.
The last time you and I were supposed to record and the water heater broke, I powered through this movie and I finished it and I was like, yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Very B movie. You're right. And very, very grotesque, dude. I love Alex Winter's main character. I just love how just grotesque, how Irish he was and how just like he encompassed every shitty thing about a neighbor that you could. Loud rave music, very European, in your face, spitting, working out, having like loud sex, stuff like that, dude. Like, everything that you wouldn't want to have in your neighbor, like he just did that in a matter of what, two scenes? And
yeah.
And the backstory behind it where like the main character was a he was a producer of music, and like he was producing the album of that one guy, and they found out he's into prog music, and they're everybody disses him. And that's the thing, people who like prog music, they're like, no, they always have to prove, like, this is why it's good, this is why it's inspirational. And everybody's like, no, it's not. But towards the end of the movie, you're like, yeah, I'm in. I like prog music.
Yeah. I liked how, like, it's not for everyone. They just kept on saying that. Like, in fact, I don't want it to be for everyone.
And people who listen to prog music are exactly like that, dude.
Yeah.
They're 100% like that.
That's what makes it funny. And on top of it, just, like, it's accurate. Like, it was just great. And, it was a fantastic movie. Loved it.
Great recommendation. Great recommendation. Yep.
And this is something, like, again, something that's, like, so cheap. You know, like, I'm wondering how much the budget is, but I'm sure it was not much. Like, and they do just a phenomenal job, right? Like, it was well-directed, well-acted. I think there was a couple things where I'm like, yeah, that probably could have been a little bit better. But, like, the dialogue was all great. Like, it was, like, everything that I was hoping, you know, the retirement plan, just from the execution of it. Like, that's what you like to see. Like, these low budget movies can absolutely, and silly low budget movies can absolutely do this.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah.
I love it. That was a good movie. Good pick. Good trailer. And great timing for our podcast. Cause it was like, oh, that's out. Cool. Let's watch it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do have a quick TV show that came back. It's a long series. It's apparently the last season. It's been on its last season like two times already. But Curb Your Enthusiasm is back. It's one of my favorites to watch. But my recommendation, Peter, is The Beekeeper.
Oh.
The reason is my dad, usually when he gets hooked on a movie, he'll ask me about it a couple times. And then I'll try and save it to watch it with him. But he just went on his own and watched it and started referencing scenes of this movie. And I go, all right, now I got to watch this. So I watched it. And let me just say, it's every bit of Jason Statham movie that you can ever imagine. Jason Statham is the most Jason Statham character you can ever be. This, like, low income, blue collar beekeeper who has a shitty truck, but knows exactly how to work on it and can just whoop your ass at a drop of a pen. Yeah, it's The Transporter, it's Fast and Furious, it's everything the only thing, and this is what's really starting to upset me about movies, and I'm noticing it more, I saw it in Argyle and I saw it in this one, is the lack of use of blood in movies. These are movies where fingers are getting chopped off, heads are exploding, you're seeing weird things, you're seeing stabs and wounds, you're seeing oil spills, you're seeing all this kind of stuff, and they're not reflecting on the characters. I'm seeing video game characters hold more damage and blood and dirt and debris on them than you are a continuation in a movie. And that's the only thing that's bugging me. So
I'm going to have to watch this and try to pay attention to that. Cause part of me wonders, are we like a little numb to it? You know, maybe we're expecting a lot more. Cause I think of, I was just talking about like action movies the other day and Rambo, you know, like the just self-titled Rambo, like that movie was just so bloody when he's just, you know, just mowing down everyone. Yeah. It was like CGI blood, but it was just so bloody. And so maybe somehow like we compare it always to like these things. They're also like our, you know, the horror flicks that we watch. And maybe that's the reason. And I don't know, maybe studios are just kind of like, yeah, let's just tone down the blood. We don't need as much CGI blood out there. I don't know. But I need to watch it, want to watch it, and I'm going to try to pay attention to the blood.
Oh, you'll notice it right away. I'm dead serious. There's a scene where someone's fingers get chopped off, and you don't see any blood from them whatsoever. Like, that's dumb. Like, show me some blood. Show me a squirt of blood, even if it's in the background. I don't care.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know,
and dude, I just don't understand how. Oh, and that's a David Hayter movie. That's a David Hayter, right? Am I right on that, or is that he did Deadpool, the Beekeeper, David Ayer, David
Ayer. He did Suicide Squad.
Yes, yes. Did you know he... No, never mind. David Hayter is the voice of Solid Snake. David Ayer is Suicide Squad. Never mind. There goes my theory. But yeah, enjoy it. Watch it. Enjoy it. So you got two to watch.
Argyle,
and you have The Beekeeper. And
Is Argyle on Apple TV?
You know, I have a feeling it's going to be on there soon. Okay. Just by the way that it's performing in the box office, and it's going to streaming, and I can actually check right now because I'm on my Apple TV. And as we close this down, do you have any closing thoughts, Peter? Oh, I do. Dude, rest in peace.
Oh, yeah. We missed some big news. Carl Weathers.
Yeah.
Man.
Rest in peace. We're
talking about Mandalorian.
Yeah. And Toby Keith passed away yesterday, too.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Both of them, man. Rest in peace.
Absolutely.
Apollo Creed. Jeez. Many movies, many inspiration to many people. Dude, I saw Sylvester Stallone like crying.
Dude, he was, I've heard only good things about Carl Weathers, man. And what makes it sad is, like, you know, we were just watching him on Mandalorian. He looks so, like, healthy and everything, right? Like,
yeah.
And was it cancer? Is that what?
I think it was cancer, yeah.
Yeah, like, it just, it happens so quick. It's so sad. And I'm just grateful for what we got with him. And it was kind of, I shouldn't say fun, but it was looking back on some of the stuff that he's done and, like, you know, thinking about Happy Gilmore, you know, those things. I'm just like, oh man, he was so good. Just so good.
He was. And, you know, I guess the sad thing is, wasn't he set to direct his first movie with Star Wars too?
I don't know. He was a professional football player.
Yeah, he directed a couple episodes of The Mandalorian, dude. They were setting him up to do his own Star Wars movie or series. So, oh, dude, 76 years old. 76 years young. Still pretty young, man. And yeah, he played for the Raiders.
Yeah. They did not disclose the cause of death, but they said peacefully in his sleep. So I guess I made up the whole cancer thing. So,
rest in peace, Apollo Creed.
Yep, absolutely, and Toby Keith. So, man, what a bummer. Hopefully, no one else dies until, you know, next
episode.
All right. See you, buddy. We'll
talk about the Oscars. All right.
Yeah.
Argyle. No release date. On TV.
Be sure to visit DMovieBeyond.com.
And Churro the Explorer.
Nice.